Hello and welcome to a SearchStorageChannel.com podcast on disaster preparedness and recovery. My name is Robin LaRusso and I'll be your podcast moderator. Our guest speaker today is Greg Schultz, founder and senior analyst with the IT infrastructure analyst and consulting firm, the Storage.io Group. A 25-year IT veteran, Greg has worked as an IT customer, vendor, and industry analyst. Greg is also the author and illustrator of the book, Resilient Storage Networks. Greg holds degrees in computer science and a master's in software engineering from the University of St. Thomas. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Robin, and it is my pleasure to spend a few minutes today on the Search Storage Channel podcast to discuss disaster preparedness, disaster recovery, as well as disaster avoidance, and business continuance for channel pros. So the theme for today is preparing a customer for the worst case scenario. As a channel pro, your opportunities are to look at disaster preparedness, best practices, how to integrate different techniques and technologies into everyday operations, as well as helping with strategy review, update, assessments, including testing, updates, and best practices to ensure quick recovery, but also business continuity and survivability. With that in theme in mind, let's take a quick look at disaster recovery and business continuance. And there's really two schools of thought here. One is centered around disaster recovery. In other words, putting everything in place to recover a business, to recover all aspects of the business, the data, the applications, the people, the processes, to really recover the business. Quite often, the focus tends to be in on backups, recovering the data. But as we go through the next several minutes, hopefully you get the understanding that a disaster recovery plan is more than just backups, more than making sure you can recover your data or recovering your applications. It's more far-reaching. It involves the people, the processes, the procedures, all kinds of different things that really roll into an overall disaster recovery strategy and plan. Now, I mentioned two different approaches, two different schools of thought. One is the recovery aspect. In other words, something has happened and you need to be able to recover from that. The other is disaster avoidance. In other words, taking every step possible, taking all measures, looking at all opportunities, looking at all applicable threat risks to minimize, if not eliminate, the chances of a disaster occurring. Now, these two kind of go hand in hand, but they're also in different extremes. For example, you could spend a lot of money, put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of resources into disaster avoidance. However, you could still have some sort of disaster that you need to recover from. Traditionally speaking, disaster avoidance, minimizing, eliminating the chances of a disaster involves spending money on really high availability, replicating sites, replicating people, replicating applications, very, very expensive. However, if a business impact is such that it can offset the cost of all that preparation, avoidance, then that may be the business enabler. On the other hand, if a business is going to be impacted, however, that business can tolerate some level of disruption, can tolerate some impact. In other words, the recovery time, the recovery point, how quickly can the data be recovered? At what point can the data recovery be? Can a business operate without its IT systems for a period of time? How much can a business be impacted? Those are things that come into play as you look at and conduct what's called a BIA, a business impact analysis. And as we look at that, we want to take a look at a couple of opportunities. As a channel pro, your opportunities are to engage with your clients, with your customers, to look at what are their applicable threats, what are the threat vectors, where are the likely scenarios that are going to disrupt your customer's business, and what parts of that business? In other words, the loss of a computer system, a loss of a server, a storage, applications, a network may inconvenience the business, but they might be able to continue to operate in a manual mode, leveraging their people, leveraging paper-based, traditional legacy approaches to conducting business. On the other hand, a business that relies very heavily on technology is going to have probably a much more impact. And that's part of the business impact analysis, is determining what is an inconvenience versus a real impact to the bottom line of that business survivability, not only in terms of revenue, lost revenue opportunity, lost sales, but exposure to that business, exposure impact to that business's credibility, the brand recognition, that whole overall customer experience. So looking at disaster recovery business continuance is a couple things to keep in mind is how will an organization respond to a disaster? Is there a plan? And if not, why isn't there a plan? There may not be a plan because a business may have looked at it and determined that they can probably get away, they could probably survive with some level of disruption. There may also not be a plan because a business and organization has deemed it too expensive in terms of people time, expensive in terms of disruption to day-to-day operations, expensive in terms of actual dollars. If you have a plan, is it up to date? When was it last updated? When was it last tested? So disaster recovery, business continuance, sometimes are seen as just something to, you do it to keep the auditors or other people pleased, check off the box, so to speak. So part of a disaster recovery plan, if it is really part of a business survival, is to make sure that the plan is up to date, that the plan can be executed, and that the people involved are aware of the plan, what their role is, as well as how they're going to be notified to react or respond. So a couple of things to keep in mind here. How will a client, how will a customer be able to recover, restore, as well as restart key applications, key business functions, key activities? How long will it take? Do they know the impact of the business, and do they know what the applicable threat risks are? We'll talk more about threat risks in just a moment. Does a disaster recovery and business continuance plan consider regular testing, validation, and updates? Does the data protection include retention of on-site as well as off-site data? How is it protected? How many copies are made? Who has access to that data? Also, how does technology replacement, upgrades, refreshes, hardware, software, and networks, how do they impact your plan? As well as, very important, the people, the policies, procedures, your documentation, the training. Keeping people as part of the plan is very, very important because you can have the technologies, you can have the procedures, but the people to be able to execute and invoke those plans are very, very essential and a key component to a DR plan. So the other side to that would be the logistics, the facilities, the security, the telecommunications to be able to glue it all together. Questions to ask include, what are your data protection objectives? What's your recovery point, your RPO? Your recovery point objective being your data currency after recovery and tolerance for data loss. The RTO, which is your recovery time objective, it takes a look at how long can you wait for data recovery to be complete. In other words, that's the time delay. So for example, you may have data protected up to a half hour ago. However, if it takes you a day to be able to recover that data and make it back online, your recovery point objective, your RPO, is 30 minutes. However, your recovery time objective might be a day or longer. So the longer a business can operate, can function without applications, without data, in some manual or alternative mode, the longer the RTO can be. The less a business can tolerate a disruption, the finer the RTO will be, the shorter it'll be. So key components is the point at which you need to have data protected to, and how quickly does that data need to be accessible. And accessible means completely to the application. So that means data restored from tape to disk or from disk to disk, applications restarted, transactions rolled back, the network, everything in place to be able to use that data. So a holistic recovery point, recovery time objective. What are your data and business availability requirements? These tie into the RTO and RPOs. And how is data currently protected? What techniques are you using? So these are some opportunities as a channel pro to work with your clients, your customers. Not all data, not all applications, not all business functions are going to have the same recovery time, recovery point objectives. Your opportunity as a channel pro are to sit down and work with your clients and determine what applications, what key business functions require different levels of protection. Some applications, some functions might be adequately covered with a daily or weekly backup. Others may require snapshots throughout the day. Yet other critical data may require some level of remote replication, remote mirroring to another system, to another site, to another location, to a service provider perhaps. So as a channel pro, your opportunities are to sit with your customer, and particularly if you're talking with a customer about tiered storage, tiered data, look at it also as tiered protection. So there's a lot of good opportunities there to look at that and then map out what are your different options, what are your different technology, your different techniques, including RAID, mirroring, replication, snapshots, remote backup, electronic vaulting, on and off site, clustering, archiving, failover, a lot of different techniques and technologies that can be deployed. Let's take a look real quickly at some threat risks. There's the headlines, the headline threat risks. All sometimes we're referred to as the smoking hole, a major disaster, perhaps a fire or a terroristic act. Then you have what are referred to as the soaking holes, businesses that are impacted by floods, hurricanes, other sorts of events. Those make the headline news, but there's also those that don't always make the headline news and that may actually be more applicable to your environment. Okay, there's a lot of different ones. These could be fire. They could be an earthquake. They could be a tornado. It could also be something where your physical structure, your data, your system, your business, the physical entities are intact. However, because of loss of access, a highway is blocked off, a rail line, a derailment has caused part of the access infrastructure for your people to be able to get to a facility. Maybe a labor strike is preventing people from getting into a building. There could be different incidences where everything is intact, your data is intact, your systems are intact. You just can't get your people into the building to be able to utilize or work with them. So look beyond the headline news. Look at threats and impacts to your business in your particular environment, in your clients, in your customers' areas. What are the real applicable threats, the ones that are most likely to have some level or some level of impact? One of the areas that can cause a disaster that doesn't make the headline news are what are called chain events or chain reactions. In other words, an uncontained fault, lack of fault isolation. A server has a component that fails, a piece of software fails, a configuration is mishandled, that then causes some other component to fail, that then kicks off a whole chain reaction of events. Something that could have been contained, something that could have been isolated, turns out and starts spreading. Another approach, a variation of that, would be a power disruption, loss of power, a brownout, a localized power fault that causes a chain reaction of events that could have been contained, could have been isolated, perhaps a denial of service attack. So the key message is look at the business, look at what the applicable and most likely threats that occur, and then put your efforts into surrounding those, isolating and protecting against those, combined with that business impact analysis to avoid treating all data the same. Backup and recovery is a key part. That's a technology and technique, as are data mirroring and replication. Distance. Distance is a friend. Distance is a foe for survivability business continuance. Distance is a friend. How much distance? It all depends on what your applicable threats, what are your most likely threats to a client's environment are. Depending on what those threats are, you may need longer distances, whether it's a half mile, several miles, or several hundreds of miles. It's going to align to the appropriate and applicable threat risks. Distance is a friend because the further you can get a copy of your data away, the more likely it is that you'll be survivable and accessible. Distance is a foe because the longer you go, the more cost you incur. Cost in terms of latency, cost in terms of network bandwidth and extra equipment, extra technologies. So it's a friend and a foe. There's a balancing act. If you wanted to learn more about distance-enabling technology, there's a search storage tip called Bridging the Gap that about applicable technologies and issues for spanning distance to support data movement and replication for business survivability. Okay, let's wrap up here. Let me go through a couple quick tips, just to refresh a couple points. Look to avoid disasters where possible, including fault isolation, fault containment, leveraging high availability and other techniques. Keep your DR and business continuance plans updated, revise them, review them, audit them, check them, and test them on a regular basis. Again, that's a service as a Channel Pro that you could incorporate into a value-add service, is working with your clients to sit down with them to help them go through and review their recovery plans or strategies. Make sure critical data is archived with multiple copies and have redundant backups. Communicate the aspects of the plan to key people. Documents should include inventories of assets, technology, and configurations, as well as a list of who key partners are. So, for example, you as a Channel Pro can work with your client to make sure that their disaster recovery plan involves invoking you, the Channel Pro, to help assist and facilitate the recovery. For example, to help that client get replacement technology in place, or maybe even help to execute different parts of the plan, or to help her, contact, to reach out and involve other suppliers, other parties involved. So you have a lot of opportunities there. Another variation of that is if you're providing services such as remote backup hosting, then you can become a key part of the recovery effort. Leverage multiple technologies and techniques. Include the people. Include your personnel into the disaster recovery and business plans. And look at overall RTO from a business and application, as well as different tiers of RTO and RPO for different applications. Include, again, your key partners, suppliers, and others involved in the plan, and test the plan regularly.
Thank you so much, Greg. This is all very useful information.
No worries, Robin. My pleasure.
That'll conclude today's podcast with Greg Schultz. If you have any questions for Greg, you may pose them to him in the Ask the Expert section of searchstoragechannel.com. Greg is our resident data backup and protection guru. A final thank you to our guest speaker, Greg Schultz, and thank you all so much for joining us today.